Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Congrats to caller 10 at 800-636-1067. You've won two tickets to see the Foo Fighters in Queens of the Stone Age Take Cover Tour 2026. Monday, August 17th at Nationals Park. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. This is all courtesy of Live Nation.
This radio program right here, we're Grant and Danny. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morgott. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
There is always the possibility that news can trickle across the feed here in the next few minutes of a deal that beat the clock. But as of right now, no news on the Commanders front 2 minutes after the trade deadline as to any trades that they may have made. So the expectation is that they will not be making a trade until we hear something different. I will tell you that during that break and leading up to this segment, the Saints moved offensive lineman Trevor Penning to the Chargers. They found out this morning that they'll be without Joe Alt for the rest of the year at tackle. So they've lost their two bookend starting tackles, and they're bringing one in Trevor Penning to help them get to the finish line in the AFC West. We'll see if anything else comes across here that may have gotten into the league in the final moments before the deadline. But let's get you your Beltway Blitz. Teams in town you care the most about right here on Grant and Danny. We start on the hardwood with our buddy Chase Hughes of Monumental Sports. Chase, Wizards in action last night at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks. They lost the game. What did we learn?
Well, I think we learned that the Wizards, as we've seen a few times this year, can play a solid half against a good team, but they tend to struggle, particularly in the third quarter. I mean, I think going back to last season. So putting together a full 48 minutes, still very difficult for them, and their defense continues to struggle. I mean, New York, you know, they're working through some new things with a new head coach, with Mike Brown, but they do have a lot of offensive talent, as we've seen over the past few years with Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. And once they got going, the Wizards couldn't provide much resistance. And that was with most of their pieces, their defensive pieces that they've drafted recently. So I think their defense remains a work in progress. And they weren't able to play a full 48 last night.
Chase, talk to me about the defense, because individually there are pieces where I go, I bet that guy could be a pretty good defender. I mean, I think of someone that's athletic and long like Alex Saar or you know, a guy like Bub Carrington or, you know, you kind of go on the list. I understand you don't have, you know, eight Pascal Siakams out there, but the bones are there for a team that should be decent defensively, but they seem to really struggle. Diagnose it for me.
Yeah, I think they have the pieces to be better defensively than they've been so far, particularly since they got Bilal Coulibaly back 3 games ago. He's their best defensive player, and he plays a really important role because he's on the wing, he's on the perimeter, and he's had a lot of success in individual matchups against star players. I do think what's missing is being able to stop the ball on the perimeter at the point of attack, and maybe Bilal Coulibaly can do more of that moving forward. But it also may be something they lack on their roster, where you have the rim protection in Alex Saar, and we're starting to see that show up in the percentage that they allow near the basket. You have pretty solid wing defenders with both Bilal Coulibaly and Keyshawn George, but you don't really have someone, and it's really hard to find someone who can just stop dribble penetration beyond the three-point line. You know, they had that with Marcus Smart a little bit last year, but obviously he's not here anymore. The timelines didn't match up, so I think they hope to develop that, maybe in Bub Carrington. You know, maybe Bilal Coulibaly could be that guy. But right now what you're seeing is a team that allows a lot of attempts around the basket. They're doing a pretty good job of holding teams to a lower percentage than they shoot on average, but it's just too many opportunities getting into the paint.
What do you think of Trey Johnson so far?
I think he's been pretty impressive, especially from three-point range. I think they've played six games. He's had multiple threes in five of them. So he's been as advertised as a three-point shooter. But I think you're starting to see teams key in on that and try to take that away from him. And he's got to adjust to be able to hurt them in other ways. I think we're seeing him try to kind of work into the mid-range, get around the basket. He's not having a whole lot of success finishing yet, but he is getting to spots and getting some looks that I think are encouraging. And I will say he's been a little bit better defensively than I thought he would be. You know, he's a strong guy for his age. I think he's bigger than fans probably realize once you see him in person. He's got a strong upper body and he's playing to those strengths. He's also got a big wingspan. So I think there's more potential defensively than I probably would have given him credit for going into the season.
Chase, thank you as always, buddy.
Absolutely, guys.
Yeah, man. Talk soon. Hit that NFL sounder, please. We'll grab Eric at home from NFL Media here in a moment, GP. But can you believe, by the way, this is the thing that people do, like at the end of a year, the beginning of a new year. Can you believe it's already? And then they say the name of the week or that it's almost this new calendar year. But can you believe, what is it, week 10 in the NFL now? Week 11?
It's been crazy. It's moving quickly. The weather. What about the weather?
The weather, yeah. Too, also.
Can you believe the weather's the weather?
The weather that always happens around now?
Rude Guest Hotline, Eric Edholm, is with us from NFL Media. So, Eric, how about this trade deadline today? You had the Cowboys landing Quinnen Williams, the Colts bringing in Sauce Gardner as part of a Jets sell-off that netted them 3 ones, a two, and a couple of players back.
Yeah. I was last week sort of pumping the brakes a little. I thought there'd be activity. I didn't know that there'd be this level of player, obviously both from the same team too, being involved, because it just sort of felt like last week that the supply didn't meet the demand. Yeah, there were teams who wanted upgrade. The field feels pretty wide open, I would say, in some respects, right? I mean, I think you could make a case that there are 10 or 12 teams that feel they have a legitimate chance to win it all this year, so I knew there was going to be some anxious teams out there. I didn't know that we'd get this. And obviously, I hope the Jets enjoyed their big win in week 8, right? I mean, soak it up, baby. That's not much else to cheer for at this point. But 2027, I think they'll be happy. I mean, most, people feel like that's going to be a pretty wild draft class with all the generational talent potentially in it. So it's just another long Jets rebuild and two fascinating moves for other teams.
Give me a team, either good or bad, where you go, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I didn't see this coming.
You mean as far as the trade deadline stuff?
I just mean in terms of the year they're having, entering week 10. Okay. Yeah.
I could double up and pick the Colts because I didn't think that, with a quarterback battle between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson in August, I mean, you could have pitched it in the most, glorious way possible, and I don't know that I still would have bought in. I mean, I didn't know. I just didn't have faith in either guy at this point. So you give a lot of credit to Shane Steichen for finally seeing his offensive vision come through and, them having kind of the right pieces in the right places. I mean, Jonathan Taylor and Tyler Warren, the offensive line, I realize they're coming off a loss with the offense. Didn't do its job, but big picture, they've been great. And look, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I wrote that, if Chris Ballard was ever going to make a deal on the deadline, I think he's done it once before, and it was trading a running back that wanted out, Nyheim Hines. So, they just haven't been active this time of year. They've always cherished their draft picks, and now they're trading two firsts for a corner, who has one interception the last 3 years combined. I mean, maybe it works out brilliantly, but it's a pretty big price. I mean, it just is, even if this year's pick is in the low 20s or even lower than that. So it's against what they normally do, and I applaud them for being aggressive. They have as good a chance as anybody, but, you better be sure that this is the right move and the right fit and that it's going to help boost their chances to win a Super Bowl this season.
Eric Edholm, NFL Media on Grant and Danny. What about in the NFC North? You've got the Packers a half game up on the Lions and the Bears. They've all got 5 wins. Vikings have 4 wins. Who's going to win that division?
Oh, man, I really don't know. I mean, you know, the Bears won four straight, but then lost to Baltimore and then, you know, required this sort of miracle play against a really bad defense last, you know, on Sunday without, you know, they nearly blew a game that they shouldn't have lost. So I don't know that they're in the mix. Minnesota is, I mean, I guess if you judge them off of one this past game with J.J. McCarthy, if he plays that well and feasibly even a little bit better and the Vikings defense performs at that level, who's to say they're not in the mix? So I think Detroit and Green Bay are obviously your favorites right now. You know, but Green Bay scares the heck out of me, especially with no Tucker Kraft all of a sudden. He really was the kind of the linchpin that brought this whole thing together, I felt like. I mean, just in terms of consistency and big play ability and all that, Jordan Love seemed to really trust him. Losing him is nothing you just shrug at. So, you know, Detroit, I don't know that the offense has been right the last couple games. I mean, defensively, we know obviously they have some limitations, but, you know, they haven't been able to run the ball consistently. And when you stop that, you put them in those, you know, sort of forced to throw positions. And I'm not trying to downplay all of them. Obviously somebody's going to end up, you know, winning that division and probably in a pretty good position for themselves, but it's pretty muddled suddenly.
Did we just look past the Steelers? Cause they're getting what they wanted from Aaron Rodgers, which is like, okay, yeah, it's fine. It's Mike Tomlin. Their defense is coming off one of their best performances with a billion turnovers against the Colts, who we were just talking about. I've sort of just discounted them and like, yeah, whatever. Someone's going to bypass them. They got a 2-game lead. Is there a chance that we've kind of overlooked them and they win this division?
Yeah, I think, well, we were maybe prisoners of the moment, although you never know, right? I mean, maybe Sunday's defensive performance was the outlier because the 2 games prior hadn't looked really terrible. Good. I just, every time I feel like I make a, you know, stamp a judgment on this team, I get burned by it. So if they can solve those defensive issues, they don't have to be as lights out as they were Sunday every single time out. But I guess the irony is that, you know, even probably going back to Ben Roethlisberger's final couple of years, like, you know, if they had anything close to what they have with Rodgers now, it'd be one of the best teams in football. I mean, they had below replacement level quarterback play a couple of years here. So Rodgers has been pretty good. Not great, but not terrible at all. He's given them a chance to win. He's operated the offense. There's some limitations to what they can do in the run game some days. So, you know, it really comes down to whether that big name, high price defense can gel the way it did Sunday or close to that level. And if they do, I mean, it was a huge win just because, you know, Baltimore won Thursday and they would have been a 1-game lead after that had they lost. So, you know, they don't face each other until week 14. That's obviously got a little runway before we get to that point. And who knows what shape the division will be in by then. But, yeah, the Steelers aren't, you know, they announced Sunday that they're sticking around for a little bit.
Eric, I find the Chiefs really interesting because it looked like they'd gotten right. And I felt like going into this week, they were the best team in football. They're not number one on a power rankings based on resume, but yeah, in terms of a 32-team battle royal, like, they win it that week, right? And yet you lose to the Bills, and so still this moment they're not in the playoffs at 5-4. Yeah. They'll go into week 11 with that being the case, and then they come out of the bye with the Broncos and the Colts. How sure are we? I mean, it seems like they got right, but they also really hurt themselves with those 3 early losses, and they're in a division where there's 2 teams that might be ahead of them post-bye.
Yeah, kind of the story of the season. I understand last year, you know, a lot of people probably looked at them and felt like there was some smoke and mirrors or they were kind of just barely getting by. But they were winning games and they were closing games out in the fourth quarter. And, you know, you're seeing obviously some of that. I mean, you know, the Detroit game was impressive. You know, they've had other moments where, you, like you said, the last 3 games coming into this into Sunday, you kind of felt like, okay, they're peaking, right? They're not in the playoffs yet, but they will be. And, you know, we know they'll end up winning the AFC West, but the Broncos, you can't deny their fourth quarter magic. And if you just look in-house, I mean, this is the first time since they got all those receivers back that they weren't able to really hit them consistently and have the success you want offensively. On defense, I just felt like the front 7 was a player too shy of being a complete group right now. That surprised me as I watched that. I felt like, boy, you know, they're really not impacting the line of scrimmage right now. Cook's getting a, you know, a runway down on most of these runs. Wide open receivers. Again, one game, you don't want to extrapolate too much, but this is the type of team they're going to be facing in the playoffs if they make it. So, yeah, just a little bit of a confusing game and a setback there that, you know, they've had enough of those this season where you think to yourself, okay, I guess they'll kick the habit. But like you pointed out, Denver, Indy, they still got, you know, Dallas loaded up at the deadline. They still got Houston, the Chargers. So they've got other tough games lying ahead.
Eric, great as always, buddy. Appreciate the time.
All right. Have a great day, you guys.
Yeah, man. We will see you. Hit that local 53 sounder, Darris. Tom Shad, Washington Post, to talk about the Washington football boys. Tom, really surprised they didn't pull off any trades.
Yeah, I guess it's mildly surprising, I'd say. I mean, it's always tough, you know, when you're trying to kind of work around the edges, I guess I would say. You know, I thought that there was a chance that we could see maybe one of the backup linemen go or something. And I know there was a little bit of scuttlebutt on X about maybe something materializing with Debo or Von Miller at the end. But yeah, I mean, those are just hard to kind of pull off there right at the last minute. And I guess I would say it's a mild surprise, but not overly shocking for them.
What do you think was the amount of effort exerted by the Commanders? Do you think they were aggressively trying to trade anybody?
I don't know for a fact. You know, my assumption is that they were exploring some things, you know, and looking into a couple options. But yeah, I mean, it's just hard again when you're talking about, you know, if you were to move, say, like one of your backup offensive linemen, you know, what sort of return are you going to get there? And then also just with the injuries that they've had this year, it's like, you know, you move one of those guys, and then who knows what's going to happen to the guys who are playing. So you have to be a little bit careful there as well.
So I just attitudinally, and Tom, I'm not ripping you. Obviously, you're the messenger. I don't like, to me, the alternative is, yeah, they might lose some games. They've just gotten beat by more north of 20 points three straight weeks. Like, there's no bottom when this is sort of where you are, right? Like, what are you going to do, lose? To me, like, there's nobody that should be above, you know, being traded here, with the exception of a couple of rookies, guys like Jaden Daniels and people under rookie deals. It just didn't seem like they were that interested in doing that. And I'm wondering if it's kind of this cultural thing that they're trying to establish here.
I think it's fair. I think, yeah, it's certainly fair to ask the question. You know, at the end of the day, I think, again, part of the issue is we don't know what sort of interest there in a lot of these guys, right? You know, and so it's like, and we don't know what the return would be. So it's one thing to kind of be open to making moves and kind of be offering people up. It's another thing to have interest in those guys and then get like a return that you think is worth it. So I totally understand kind of the question that you're asking and kind of that approach, right? Mm-hmm. With where they are in the season at 3-6, but it's just hard with you know what we know and don't know at this point.
Tom Shad, who was on the scene as he always is, covering the Commanders for Sunday Night Football this past week. He'll be there as the Lions come to town this weekend. Tom, I know you weren't covering the beat in the playoffs when Washington whooped up on Detroit and Jaden Daniels had a virtuoso playoff performance. Danny and I were talking about this earlier, though. They just feel like one of those teams under Dan Campbell that's going to hold a grudge, don't they?
Yeah. There's a certain line, right, that I think there's a line of, I don't know if professionalism is the right word, but I wouldn't expect them to. I know there's been some talk about, you know, would they run up the score, that sort of thing. I think there's a degree of professionalism where they wouldn't do that, but obviously they're going to come in highly motivated with what happened at the end of last year. And, you know, there's, I think, kind of a possibility or an opportunity, I guess, you know, for the Commanders to kind of say, man, we've really, you know, gotten beat up by the injuries this year. And, you know, we've just had a string of bad luck, and the Lions are definitely not going to care about that. So, yeah, especially with how last year ended for them, they're definitely going to come out motivated and certainly not let up or care in any way about what the Commanders have going on this year.
Tom, thank you, sir. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Tom Shad of the Washington Post on our Beltway Blitz here on Grant and Danny. Officially, no trades for the Commanders at the deadline. We'll react to that next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 30 minutes, Bill joins us. We'll talk to Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt right here on Grant and Danny live on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. You can listen to us each and every day here in the DMV on 106.7 The Fan. Of course, you can listen coast to coast, always free and available on the Odyssey app. And you can watch us in high definition on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel, where the chat is hopping today. Looks like people are having all kind of Commanders debates in our 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat.
Bits are flying. Accusations are flying. Irritation is flying. I'm not even sure who's responding to whom at this point, but it doesn't matter.
On the rundown, I put that we needed to react to trade deadline news at 4:30 today. There is no news to react to. I think that in and of itself is a worthwhile discussion.
Yeah.
But the point of this segment was supposed to have been, let's talk about the couple of small moves that they made, but there were no small moves. So the question is why? And that's the question I want to pose for you guys on the phones right now at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Why did they do nothing? How hard do you think Adam Peters worked the phones to make a trade? How badly do you think he wanted to sell? I don't mean be a full-on seller like this is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. He's not going to go all New York Jets on you and deal Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner like the Jets did today to get not one or two, but three first-round picks and a second-round pick and a couple of young players back, one on both sides of the ball. But do you think he was working the phones, making calls, trying to sell or not? And do you think the reason they didn't make any trade was that they weren't that interested in doing so or that they just didn't have the ammunition? Because I think it was B. My guess is, if Peters had his druthers and had the opportunity to make moves, he would have done it. If Peters could have made trades today and gotten some picks and some value back, he probably would have pulled it off.
I just can't believe that no deals were available. I guess that's where I'm starting from. So in general, I would assume that a smart, competent person and a smart, competent front office, which I happen to still think this one is, would have been doing what you just said. The fact that nothing came to fruition. You couldn't get a sixth for Andrew Wiley. You couldn't get a pick swap for a lineman that's not going to play for you this year. Tells me they weren't really that interested. And maybe I'm too cynical. Maybe I'm too skeptical. But the combination of you don't have a lot of desirable assets. I think that's unequivocal. I think that's obvious, right? I think we start there. Again, that's not as if you've got a field of players that everyone wants to give you multiple first rounders for.
If we just need to agree to some early terms of the conversation, right. The first one is that they couldn't have really been the Jets because they don't have a Sauce Gardner on their defense. They don't have a Quinnen Williams on their D-line, although Payne is close to that. And if we're being honest, they're not anywhere near as bad as the Jets. Looks pretty bad right now with all their injuries, but unlike New York, they've got a franchise quarterback that they feel good about who's a second contract guy here, and the Jets are still looking for their QB and in the mode where until they find one, guys like Gardner and Quinnen Williams are basically wasting their time and being paid a lot of money to be on a loser team.
Right, and so my view is I'm assuming Jaden Daniels is out for the year. They may not assume that, but that's my assumption, and I use that as an opportunity to really kickstart this thing. And they didn't see it that way. That's how I'm viewing it. Again, we'll never know unless, again, what I would love is a report of some kind or a leak of some kind that says, you know, nothing was really available for Washington in terms of good value. They're not just here to give players away. Some sort of reassurance that, trust us, we were trying our damnedest to get some value for some of these guys that aren't part of the long-term plans here. Which, by the way, there are dozens, because that's the route they went. They went veteran victor over everything else to try to win right now, which I got. Now you pivot, and they didn't pivot. So that's the fact that nothing was done at all makes me think it wasn't that much of a priority for them.
Look, if you wanted to trade Daron Payne for a 5 or a 6, I'm sure you could have done that. Yep. They don't want to do that. And in the case of guys like him and Laremy Tunsil, who if you do nothing will be on the roster next year, you shouldn't do that. They're not as bad as their record. They're going to have a much easier, probably last place-ish type schedule next year. And all the things that worked against them going into this season will work for them again next year. So I am pro keeping Payne. I am absolutely pro keeping Tunsil, because had you have flipped him after giving up what they did this offseason, that deal, like Lattimore, ends up being a disaster.
Would be a rotten egg, yeah.
There's no reason to move one that's worked and been good into the loss pile by yourself today just by making a trade. So that makes sense. But yeah, I'm a little surprised that like Von Miller's not in Buffalo with the Bills or in Cincinnati with the Bengals or, you know, with the Chargers or something. That would be the type of move that would have made some sense. I do think they tried, and I just don't think they had the right types of players and could get anything for the players that were actually worth moving. That's my guess. Let's go to Saman in Richmond. Why don't you think they made a trade at the deadline that passed a half hour ago?
So we're so accustomed to seeing notifications pop up, transactions coming across ticker symbols to get us closure on feeling that some kind of deal was made. But I have all faith in AP based on like what we've seen in the past and some, you know, during draft day, what the action they took last year. I'm sure he picked up the phone, tried to make some phone calls, see what was available. And I don't see we have anything much to offer. So, you know, it's kind of like what you said, then we probably stay par for the course with all of the big splashes we made last year. And, you know, he doesn't have as much of a short leash being a new GM. So we're probably going to ride it out.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I mean, here's my working theory, that they are so all in on this, we're gonna value culture above all else, that we can't even sacrifice that during this lost season. Because if you start selling players off for future picks for guys that won't be here, that some of the young guys that you're trying to raise in this good environment might suffer because of that. And I really do believe that's kind of their true north, is this thing that they're trying to build and show everybody this is who we are all the time. And I think sometimes that rhetoric gets in the way of like cutthroat GMing, which would be much easier for me coming in as a consultant type guy on
it's
the outside.
It's possible, but you hear that stuff from Dan Quinn, and that's all DQ stuff more than Peter's stuff in terms of what we see it. Now, maybe they are on the same page on a lot of things. But again, I think this is where you've got a separation of church and state a little bit, where that's the Dan Quinn way. Spin the hat backwards. Let's give you the slogans. Let's, you know, go get them, win one for the skipper, and we're all moving in the same direction, culture, culture, culture. I think Adam Peters is going to make the tough decisions when he has to. That last caller makes an interesting point, too. I would say he is an aggressive executive based on what we've seen. You know, the Lattimore deal last year,
yep,
hasn't worked. Super aggressive.
It's aggressive. Tunsil.
The Laremy Tunsil deal this offseason was a huge splash. That's a big swing. I mean, they have absolutely done some moving and shaking here from the front office perspective that we wouldn't have anticipated. And they don't stand pat a whole lot in the draft. They've moved picks. They've moved around the board. They're making calls and dealing with Howie Roseman and the Eagles to navigate the second round a couple years ago. It's not like he hasn't liked working the phones. Let's go to Mike in Gaithersburg. What's up, Mike?
Hey, First of all, I just want to say I'm a Colts fan, and I'm absolutely thrilled with the move that we made today.
That must be nice.
Yeah, you gave up a lot, by the way.
Winning a bunch of games and getting a marquee corner must be fun.
Two ones and A.D. Mitchell, but you get one of the better corners in the league if you can get him back to his form in his first two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that this kind of compares a little bit to the Champ Bailey-Clinton Portis trade. You know, you're getting an all-pro corner And, I mean, we gave up a guy who fumbled out the back of the end zone and caused us to lose one game.
It's funny that that's now, his entire legacy. That's the kind of career he's had, basically, as an early pick. But, yeah, everyone today is like, they traded the guy that fumbled out of the end zone. Not that he's the first player to do it. But that's way less significant than you. The two first-round picks are a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. But as far as the Commanders, I mean, I think it's just really an issue with there's not a lot of young talent on the team because, you know, the Commanders have gotten rid of everybody who Rivera had drafted for the most part. So, I mean, you still have to build and field a team, and nobody's going to take a bite on a Bobby Wagner who has to cover wheel routes by himself or Frankie Louvu who is suspended right now. I just don't think that there was a huge upside to moving any of these people. So I think that's why nobody would really bite and the Commanders couldn't find a partner.
I wonder if this is another area where they were decimated by injury. I don't know that like Lattimore would have had value, but you just think about all the guys that are hurt, whether it's Eckler or Dietrich Wise, Lattimore, Terry McLaurin. Would there have been a different set of options for them if they had a healthy deck of cards here? That's very possible. If Debo hasn't been missing practices for a few weeks with a heel, would you be able possibly to have moved one of those players? I don't know. Brian Springfield, you're on Grant and Danny. Trade deadline passed less than 40 minutes ago. Washington stood pat, didn't make any moves. What do you think?
Hey, guys, big fan. I guess my first thought is I kind of agree with Grant here that there's really not a lot of quality players that you want to move or people would be interested in. Two, traditionally, it's the top-end teams or the teams that are going for, you know, a deep playoff run, making a trade to get somebody to make that more possible. And then the teams that are really bad record are looking to move to get draft picks to build, rebuild in the future. If you're in the middle or your record is 4-4, you're not overly motivated to move or overly motivated to get rid of someone. So you're kind of just stuck in the middle. That's my thought.
Well, and we saw that a million times over with the dumb Wizards and the Atlanta Hawks for so many years, like just fighting for that 7 seed and just sort of, you know, the hamster wheel to nowhere. I guess the point that I've been trying to make that maybe folks don't agree, when you've just lost by a combined 60-some points over 3 weeks that nobody has done in half a decade, that your organization hasn't done in 20-some years, you're not part of the middle of the pack anymore. You're down at the bottom. You're the dregs. Whether you want to be or not, you are. And your quarterback, the whole reason for all of this, these exercises, aka like if he was going to play again in a couple of weeks, I'd go, yeah, I need to keep everyone around him to make sure that he's got people to throw to and his development is paramount. There's no developing. There's only rehabbing. So to me, it's fire sale time, and it didn't seem to be that way for them.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're locked into the Fan. The question for you on the phones today at 800-636-1067, are you surprised the Commanders didn't make a trade? And if you were Adam Peters, what would you have tried to have gotten done that he wasn't able to as of 39 minutes ago when the deadline came and went? You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
For Grant and Danny, we're giving away tickets to see the Foo Fighters at 4 o'clock all week long on The Fan. Every day, 2 to 6:30, nobody talks more Commanders than we do. Thank you for making the show part of your afternoon. You can watch us, if you'd like, on the high-definition YouTube stream. And, of course, we're available and free every day on the Odyssey app, coast to coast. 4 p.m. NFL trade deadline. There was a bounty of moves, some blockbuster deals. Washington didn't get in on the party, but the Jets had themselves a sell-off. Sauce Gardner, you're an Indianapolis Colt. Quinnen Williams, you're a Dallas Cowboy. The Jets getting three ones, a two, and two players back as a whole. Rashid Shaheed goes from the Saints to the Seahawks. The speedy wideout going to team up with Jackson Smith and Jigba to help out Sam Darnold. And that Seattle offense that we just saw take belt to booty here in D.C., Danny. And for the Saints, they get a fourth and a fifth back, which is exactly what they should be doing. The Raiders were sellers as well. They got a four and a six back for Jacoby Myers. Washington didn't have a Jacoby Myers or Rashid Shaheed to trade, but I guess their version would be Deebo Samuel. I would have traded Deebo for, you know, a four or five or a six or whatever you could have gotten probably, unless I know I'm going to try to re-sign him this offseason. I don't know how or why that'd be the case. He's older than Terry was. They didn't want to pay Terry. Deebo's got more of a checkered injury history. We've seen that show up already this season with the heel. So my guess is they're not going to try to pay him a bunch of money to come back here. And if that's the case, then why not try to move him, especially if Jaden Daniels isn't going to play much the rest of the way and it's the Marcus Mariota show. You might as well punt and not worry about the development of Daniels with keeping one of his weapons. But I come back to just not knowing what were they offered. I certainly hope this is not about them thinking they still got a shot at making this a season.
Yeah, I mean, I keep going back to the culture thing. I know you don't agree, but I mean, it was an initial choice that they made the beginning of last year, which was, we could just stink and go get a bunch of young assets and really build through the draft and take our time. Or it's, hey, this quarterback is pretty special. What if we surround him with a bunch of vets, instill this winning culture, this is how we do business, and build something? You know, everybody laughs at it now, but like the Steelers have, right? Where doesn't matter, you put on that uniform, you're part of, there's the Steelers way, and this is how we do it. And we're going to compete at the highest level and win a whole bunch of games more than we lose. And they wanted to do that. And I think that's not just Dan Quinn. I think that's Adam Peters. That's why he's, when you go down with a sprained ankle, I'm letting your wife know that you'll be fine. And this is what time the x-ray is. And you can ride along with me as we ride next to the ambulance on the way to the hospital or whatever. They do this sort of stuff. And I think they're living and breathing that. And to me, this is the downside of that potentially, is where you're not as cutthroat as you probably could be. Again, it also could be, and I'm wrong, and they got rebuffed for every single one of their players, and nobody wanted to even have a conditional pick swap with them to move on from anybody on their roster. The fact that they traded no one tells me that it wasn't really that important to them to trade somebody.
Yeah, I could say Payne, Tunsil, okay, they're in the plans next year, but Ertz, Miller, Wagner, Allegretti, Wiley, nothing? Not a seventh?
Nobody?
Nobody wanted to give you a single pick?
Nobody was intrigued by Colson Yankoff for a seventh-round pick swap. Nothing? There's nobody?
I don't need to spend a lot of time on Colson Yankoff, but also he's a young player that they shouldn't be trading. Again, he's under contract for no money. You're trading old guys that won't be here, not the young guys that will. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Thanks for taking my call. Well, obviously, they didn't get a Vito Corleone offer they couldn't refuse. I'm going to look at it from the other side. I think it's a reflection of people just aren't interested in what we have to sell. And my concern moving forward is we've got six draft picks. We've got a bunch of old men. Thank God they're on one-year deals. And we're basically going to be, and I would be in favor of this, but we're basically going back to rebuild mode as we get to the offseason. Because this offense is that banged up, but it's also, is the Cliff Kingsbury Cliff back in the discussion? Is it just personnel? I'm worried about their self-scouting boys. I'm worried about, do we really have the right defensive coordinator? I think we all know the answer to that. But do we really have the right offensive coordinator? I mean, they have got problems, and they did nothing to address them today. And maybe they couldn't. Maybe nothing was being offered. Mm. That's a problem.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, it's fair to ask those questions. I mean, again, when nothing is working, last year we had a great sample of working up to a point, a lull, bad times. It was rib. It was lack of adjustments, I would say, especially on the offense. Where's Terry McLaurin? I bet you can find him. He's right at the top of your screen on the left side of the formation. Cliff made some adjustments there. So we had a sample of good and then sample of bad and then a great sample afterwards. Right now, what do we have? Very little good data points and a whole bunch of jelly beans in that, oh my God, what the hell's going on jar, where they've lost multiple games in a row by 20-plus points. It's fair to ask any question you want.
I think there's some real Cliff conversations we could have, too, because when you look at the offense now and you compare it to a year ago, there are some things missing, right? RPO stuff, they just don't do a lot of. Why not? The run game over the last month has been broken. Running backs have not averaged over 4 yards per carry in the last calendar month. We're going to talk to Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt on the show coming up in 10 minutes. Bill's going to be with us, but it's been tough sledding for him. There's been no running room. Cliff hasn't really had answers. He's not scheming receivers open. And when you look at the stuff that works in the league, the stuff that teams that move the ball consistently, the explosives in the passing game that you major in, I'm talking about scheming it up, not getting Justin Jefferson and him and Ja'Marr Chase will you to having a great offense. But if you're not going to have one of those guys, and they don't, and you're going to have a dynamic passing game, then you need to be under center and do some play action deep drops, and you need to move the pocket and bootleg and set some things up. And they don't do a whole lot of that. It's really hard to live in the straight dropback game in this league. The Kevin O'Connells, Shanahan's, McVay's, I'm trying to think of other examples, but you know, LaFleur and Kubiak, who was just here, they don't ask their quarterback to just drop 3, 5, or 7 and throw. Like the Commanders are asking Jaden Daniels to do. They've got to help him more schematically. I think those are fair critiques this many weeks now in a row. When everything's going well, great, it's working, no problem. But when
nobody
not,
asking the questions, right?
Now it's time to try to reassess and say, okay, what's different about this offense than the elite offenses in the league? And they don't look that similar. You're basically just asking Jaden Daniels to be spectacular. You're saying, go be special, run around and make plays. That's the offense this past weekend.
Read a great note, for example, about teams and the percentage of pass plays using play action. And it reads like a little shuffled up, but who are the best offenses in the NFL right now? I mean, there's a pretty great crossover in that regard.
And I'll bet you Washington's not very high on that list.
No, they're not there at all.
Bargov's in Gaithersburg. What's up, Bargov? How are you?
What's up, fellas? Quick non sequitur. That armpit segment a couple weeks ago was diabolical gold. Great stuff, guys.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You'll be happy to know that I smell
Grant
amazing today.
Yeah, here, it's
we
a
don't
good
have
smell.
The assets to garner any real value in return. We're like the dork in high school who doesn't go to homecoming. It's not because he doesn't have the desire or can't dance, because he's playing Pokemon in the hallways with hot Cheeto residue on his fingers. Can't score a date besides PS2 in the basement. May or may not be talking about my high school self. But yeah, thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, dude.
I think there is probably something to that call where we're sitting here going, they didn't make a trade. This is stupid. Why not? What was Adam Peters thinking? And Adam Peters is calling his wife right now going, get the wine ready when I come home. This was a tough day.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I need to put my feet up and forget about work for a minute.
He's been banging his head against the wall for 5 hours trying to do anything. Now, I happen to be with you for this one small point, which is if they were desperate to do something, they could have done something. Like the idea that they didn't get one late round pick back for one player is probably somewhat a choice as much as it is them just not being able to. But I think most of the guys we'd bring up, like I would say to Adam Peters with Truth Serum, why didn't you just trade Von Miller to the Bills for a sixth? And he would go, because the Bills didn't want to give
him
a sixth.
They didn't offer that, yeah.
And I think we could sit here and go, oh, come on, man, you're not going to homecoming? This is the best time ever. You just ask a girl and go dance. And he's like, I asked 3 girls. Leave me alone. Grant and Danny on the Fan, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, going to be on the show as soon as we return. And then I want to talk about the best case the rest of the way for Washington. What should we be rooting for from here on out? And what's realistic in terms of a win count and a stretch to this season? You're locked into the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.